We started a brand new sermon series last week titled Unwrapping Christmas, Receiving God's Good and Perfect Gifts. So we're talking about some gifts that God gives us, some special gifts he gives us that he would want us to unwrap and that we have the privilege of unwrapping as we go through the Christmas season. You know, gifts are an interesting thing. I like Christmas. I like the idea of gifts. It doesn't have to be a big gift or anything like that. It can just be a small gift. It can be all kind of gifts. But, you know, as Nancy and I have gotten older, one of the things we were talking about a couple days ago that we really enjoy is we really have gotten to this point in our life where we like to watch other people receive gifts. And, you know, when you're a little younger, you like to get them. And, you know, of course, it's still nice to get gifts, but we enjoy watching other people open their gifts. But, you know, I remember a younger time in my life, and I remember as a kid, you know, just not being able to sleep Christmas Eve night because our family opened gifts on Christmas morning, and I couldn't sleep. And you know, I had a biological sister and two stepsisters at home. There were four kids, and we would get together with my aunt's family, and they had a couple of kids, so there were six kids, and they would put us all in a bedroom, and, you know, we were waiting. We would just talk, and we were so excited, and, you know, we were listening for this sound, you know, do you hear anything, we just couldn't sleep, and that was a crazy time, and then we got a little older, and how many of you ever did this? You know, you don't have to raise your hand or anything, but unless you just want to confess, okay? But how many of you ever did this? You get a little older, and then we got together, and we talked about it, and we all decided that when our parents weren't there, we would open the gifts and rewrap them. Anybody ever done that? Yeah, we did that one year. I didn't like that. That was no fun because Christmas morning you knew everything that was there. But it's always fun, you know, getting and receiving gifts. So as we look at this series, we're talking about a special kind of gift. We're talking about these gifts that God gives us through his son, Jesus Christ, through this Christmas season, gifts that he offers us that we can unwrap and that don't cost us a thing, that he wants to give us. And so that the benefits of those gifts can enrich our lives and can be a part of our lives. So today, you know, last week we talked about the gift of adoption. And so this week we're going to be talking about the gift of faith, that through Jesus, he's given us this opportunity to put our faith in him through his son, Jesus. And so we have this gift of faith. And today I want you to turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to the New Testament as we look at this and talk about to the book. Now don't moan when I tell you this, okay? Because I know we spent over a year going verse by verse through the book of Romans, but we're going to be in Romans again today, just for a little while, but it's a little different, okay? So just bear with me and go to Romans chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 11, and we're going to be talking about this gift that God has given us, this gift of faith. And let me tell you something about this before I even talk about the gift. Let me just tell you this. This gift that God offers us, if you accept it, it will radically change your life forever. It will change every aspect of your life. It's an incredible gift. So we're going to take a look at this passage. We're going to see some of the benefits of this gift and what it means to us. We're going to be in Romans chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 11. I'm going to read this, and we'll come back and we'll sort of pick it apart and see some of the benefits of this. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. The Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the church in Rome, and he says this. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows us his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we will also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So when we read these words, it's an incredible passage of scripture that talks really about faith. And I believe in the passage that there are some lessons that we can learn. We can see some of the benefits, some of the things that faith provides you and me. We can see that when we unwrap this gift that God is offering to us, that there are incredible benefits. So let's take a look and let's see what we can have when we unwrap this gift. Well, first thing that we see is that faith provides us with peace with God. The first thing that we can be assured of is if we unwrap this gift, we can have peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to go back to that word justified for a moment. It's been a while since we talked about it. When we are sinners and we're separated from God by our sin, and we come to some point in our life when we determine that we are going to enter into a relationship with Jesus, we ask forgiveness of our sins, we cry out to God, ask him to forgive us, we put our faith and our trust and our hope, pledge our allegiance to Jesus as our King and our Savior and our Lord, we put our faith and trust in him. At the moment that we do that, instantly when we do that, when our hearts are sincere and when we're genuine, instantly, we are justified. That means that we are made right in the eyes of God. That means that we move from death, being eternally separated from God in a place called hell, to eternally sharing our eternity with God in heaven. We move from darkness to light. The Bible uses those metaphors all through the Bible, telling us about what happens to us when we're justified. But when we are justified, this says, when we make that decision, therefore, since we have been justified, since we now belong to Christ by faith, it says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way that you and I can have peace with God, the only way that we can be made right in his sight, the only way that we can have a relationship with him, the only way we can ever get to heaven, the only way we can spend our eternity with him in heaven is through placing our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, by being justified. There is no way to ever begin to please God without a relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. Now, how can I be so sure, and how can I say those words, and how can I be so emphatic and say, that's the only way? How can I? Because the Bible says it. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is absolutely impossible to please God without faith. If we want our lives to be pleasing to God, if you want your life to be pleasing to God, if I want my life to be pleasing to God, if we want to be called friends of God, if we don't want to be his enemies, the starting point is faith in God through Jesus Christ. Listen to verses 9 through 11. Since therefore we have now been justified, changed, right? By his blood, by the sacrifice and the penalty for the payment of our sins on the cross by Jesus, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. We're saved and justified and forgiven of our sins, and God doesn't pour out his wrath on us. We're not eternally separated from him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So through Jesus, we're reconciled, made right with God. This is telling us that faith is the basis for peace with God. You know, when we unwrap this wonderful gift, when we unwrap it that he has given us through his son Jesus, and we put our faith and our trust in him, we can have peace with God. There is no other way. Matter of fact, in John 14:6, Jesus was talking, and Jesus, this is right after he was talking to his disciples, and he's telling them that he's going, and you've heard this at funerals, you know, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you I'm going to prepare a place for you, all those things. He says that, and then Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going and how are we going to get there? And, you know, he earned the title Doubting Thomas because of that question. But then Jesus says to him, he says, listen, you want to be right with God? You want to have peace with God? You want to spend your eternity with God? He said, listen, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And then again, in Acts, we read in Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So from all these verses, and from what we're reading here in Romans and what Paul is telling us, we can see that there's only one way that you can have peace with God. There aren't many ways to have peace with God. You can't do enough good stuff to have peace with God. You can't be a nice enough person to have peace with God. You can't give away enough stuff, contribute enough, work enough, volunteer enough, be kind enough. You can't do any of those things. None of those things will make peace between you and God. The only thing that will make peace between you and God is if you are justified by placing your faith and your trust in his son, Jesus. Nobody else, nothing else will get you there. Nothing. And so this box that's under the tree of your life called faith, God is offering it to you free and says, open this, and inside that box is peace with God. We can have peace with God. But he goes on and he says that in addition to having peace with God, we also get to share in God's glory. Another benefit of unwrapping the gift of faith is that we get to share in God's glory. Listen to verse 2. Through him, through Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith. So we put our faith in Jesus. Okay, so now we've been given something. We've been given access into what? Into grace, into this unmerited favor that God lavishes on us, in which we stand and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So when we embrace this gift of faith, when you and I embrace the gift of faith, we can look confidently forward to one day spending our eternity with God in heaven and sharing in the glory of God. That's part of the benefits of unwrapping this gift. Verse 2 says that because of our faith in Jesus, we're forgiven of our sins, even though we don't deserve it. Just because of God's grace, his unmerited favor, this grace in which we stand. And we can look forward to one day being in heaven and sharing in God's glory. Matter of fact, the Bible has a great passage of scripture. I love this passage of scripture. It's found in 1 Peter. I'm going to read it to you. And it basically tells us that we have the assurance of heaven when we put our faith and trust in Jesus. That when we do that, when we unwrap this gift, that there's an assurance that comes with it, this guarantee that comes with it. And listen to these verses. It's a great verse. It starts off by blessing God, thanking God. And we ought to be thanking him for what's in this verse. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because listen to this. Now, it's important to listen to all the phrases in here. According to his great mercy, just because he wants it to happen this way. Just because, not because you earned it, not because you deserve it, just because he loves us so much and wants to have a relationship with us, because of his mercy, just because of his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In other words, you didn't have any hope. You were separated from God. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, you now have hope. Now you have this hope. And along with the hope, you have an inheritance. Well, what do we get? Let's read the rest of the verses. We get, listen to this, to an inheritance that is imperishable. So we get this inheritance. And it's imperishable. It's undefiled. It is unfading. And I love this next part of the verse. Kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded. It's being guarded by God Almighty through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Those verses tell us when we unwrap the gift of faith, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, as it says, according to his great mercy, he has caused us when we are born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we inherit heaven. And the coolest thing about that is we inherit this great thing and he guarantees it for us. He says, I'm going to keep this thing that you've got. I'm going to keep this inheritance in heaven for you. I'm going to hang on to it and keep it for you. And I'm going to guard it until the day you show up here. Aren't you glad you're not in charge of it? I don't know about you, but I'd blow it. I would. I'm just telling you right now. If he didn't keep it for me, I'd be in trouble. That verse gives me so much assurance. It lets me know that when I unwrap the gift of faith, that he forgives me of my sin, that I'm at peace with God, and God loves me so much that he guarantees me an inheritance with him. What benefits are in this gift? This is incredible. But then he goes on and he says, faith also provides, and listen, this is where the rubber meets the road, guys. Faith provides help for today. Anybody need some help today? As you go through your life day in and day out and deal with the stuff of life, do you ever need any help? I've needed it already today. I'll need it 100 more times before this day is over. But it says here that that's one of the benefits of faith. He says in verses 3-5, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. That's in the present tense. We rejoice in the stuff we're going through right now, knowing that our suffering, all the junk we're dealing with, it produces endurance. And then the endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, as we go through the stuff of life, as you face the stuff you deal with every day, we can have confidence that God is with us. You know, one of the less attractive promises in Scripture, it's one that we really probably wish wasn't there, to be honest with you, is that Christ followers, because we are Christ followers, we will have to face a lot of pressure in our lives. There will be tension in our lives. There will be problems in our lives because Satan and this present world system stands opposed to everything that we are and we believe in. So there will be problems in this life. Don't ever tell someone, if you're telling them about Jesus, or if you have the opportunity to lead someone to Christ or have a conversation about it, don't ever tell anybody that the Christian walk is a cakewalk, because that's not true. The Bible is very clear that it's the opposite of a cakewalk, that we have to take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. Matter of fact, listen to this. Paul was writing to Timothy, and he wrote this. He said, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So we should understand that as believers, that there are going to be a lot of people who aren't going to see things the way we see them. They're not going to agree with us. We're going to be persecuted for our faith. We're going to have some difficult times. Oh, it may not be every day. Life might be pretty good. But occasionally, sometime, maybe for you it's all the time, we're going to face persecution. And we can see from these verses that we can expect it. But the Bible also tells us that because of our faith in Christ, we have help when we face those difficulties. And when you unwrap the gift of faith, the help comes in the form of the Holy Spirit. Listen to Matthew 5:10-12. It says, blessed are those. That word blessed in the Greek is the word makarios. It means to be blissful, to be encouraged, to be happy. There's a lot of things associated with that word, but it means those things in a nutshell. And it says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you, and they utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account, Jesus says. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So look at it again. He says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, for your reward is great in heaven. Here's the point. Your faith, your trust in the promises of God, your trust in Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, the forgiver of your sins, your Messiah, your trust in Him, your trust in His instruction and in the word that He's given us in the Bible. Your trust in that will provide you an encouragement and help and even keep you encouraged in the middle of the trial Satan and this world throws at you. Friday, I participated in a funeral service. It was over at First Presbyterian Church. But it was for a young lady that was 34 years old. Many of you would know the family, and she died suddenly. That family, 2 years ago, she lost her dad to cancer. That family, those grandparents, they had 3 grandchildren. I did the funeral for one of the grandchildren in September that died suddenly at about 39 years of age. Did a funeral 2 days ago for a beautiful young lady who was smart and had just everything going for her. I did her funeral, one of the other grandchildren, and there was one grandchild left in that family. They have endured the loss of a dad, of a daughter, this lady, and her nephew, this tight-knit little family, all in a short period of time. That's more than we should have to endure. And I was walking with her a couple days ago. We were at First Presbyterian Church, and they have a little courtyard out there where they do interment and things, and we were out there, and we were talking, and it was just me and her. And, you know, and I love this family. I've known them for years. One of the members and I have been really good friends since high school, and I just said, you know, I am just so brokenhearted over this. This mom looked at me and she said, "Ed, I don't get this. I don't understand this. And I don't understand it." And she goes, "I have a lot of questions for God. Why? What's the good that's supposed to come out? I don't know any of that." Then she looked at me and she said, "But I love Him and I trust Him." That's a Holy Spirit. That's how He helps you in the midst of the deepest trouble that you can be going through. He'll help you through the little things. He'll help you through the big things. But if you unwrap the gift of faith, we get the Holy Spirit to come in and dwell in us. And the Bible tells us that He brings with Him the power of God, the same power, the scriptures say, that God used to raise Jesus from the dead. So we get that. We also get the assurance of God's love. In the second half of verse 5, it says, "And hope does not put us to shame." And listen to this. "Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." So just what we were talking about. The Holy Spirit indwells us. We get that when we unwrap the gift of faith. We get the Holy Spirit. And we get this power from God to help us deal with the stuff that we deal with. But also God pours His love into us through the Holy Spirit. When we embrace faith in Christ, when we invite Jesus into our lives, when we do that, God fills our hearts with love through the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And from that moment on, we are changed. I want you to listen to a couple passages. One of them is from Ezekiel from the Old Testament. God says this. He says, "I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." So when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we get a new heart. And then in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, his second letter to the Corinthians, he writes this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ," so he's got this new heart now, they've been justified, they've got a new heart. "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." God pours his love. You know what that means? That means that the old is gone. It means that no matter how bad you've been, no matter what you did, no matter what you said, the attitude you had, the lifestyle you live, the people you mistreated, the mean things you said, that thing you stole, that time you maybe spent in prison for something that went on, or whatever it is, it means that all that stuff, at the moment you put your faith and your trust in Jesus, has been wiped away and you got a new slate. That's what that means. And then, he pours his love into us. What does that do to us? What does that do to you? What does it do to me when God pours his love? And I'll tell you what it does. Number one, it helps us love God back in a way we've never been able to love him before. When you put your faith in Jesus, you can love Jesus like you never loved Jesus. You love God like you've never loved God. Because why? Because his very spirit is inside of you and helping you to worship him appropriately. So you love God back in a way you never had before. And it also helps us to understand God's word. When the Holy Spirit of God indwells you, it illuminates the word of God so that when you're reading and you're studying and you pray and you're asking God for wisdom and help, as it says in James, he will give it to you liberally and without reproach. God gives you wisdom and he helps you see things in the word you've never seen before. He helps you in that regard. And then listen to this. Because in our culture today, and all the stuff that's going on around us in our world today, this is really important. He helps us to see and love other people in new and different ways. You see, when the love of God legitimately lives inside of you, you can't hate your neighbor. This means that when someone is so different than you, when someone believes things that you don't believe, when someone's worldview is completely the opposite of your worldview, when they say something to you, you just want to poke them in the eye. When it just drives you crazy and you think they're just lost their marbles because they don't have any sense, you can disagree with them, but you still got to love them. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. Jesus Christ didn't just die for a bunch of believers. He died so that people could come to him. And you and I, as believers, we have to be the mouthpiece and to help people come to know Jesus. And if we're filled with hate and division, and we just hate somebody because they don't see things the way we see them, and they're just a bad person because they don't see things the way that we see them, let me just tell you, I'm just being practical, but here's the deal. You'll never be able to have a conversation with them. You won't ever be able to tell them about Jesus because they're not going to want to have anything to do with you. You don't have to agree with them. You can let them know where you stand. The Bible says to speak the truth, but speak it in love. You can let them know where you stand. You can be kind, but somebody's got to tell people about Jesus. Who's going to do that? Those people that have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to say something and probably make some of you mad. But here's the deal. If you hate people like that, you don't have Jesus living in you. You can't. You cannot hate people. Have the Holy Spirit of God living in you. So we need to make sure, because when we unwrap this gift, we can get this gift of love. And if you do have these feelings against other people or you have a tough time dealing with it, then you can go to God because he indwells you and you can say, help me with this. And if we pray for his will, and that is his will, and we pray for how to deal with it, the Bible says he'll help us. The problem is we don't do that. We just try to handle it on our own so often. And when we do that, we just get into trouble. His love gives us a brand new life. Then, you know, I've preached through all these verses and we got a whole bunch of them left. And you're looking at your watch right now saying, if that boy preaches through the rest of these like he did the first, we're going to be here till 4:00. Well, I'm not going to do that, though. I want you to listen to this last section of Scripture, because they really sort of just sum things up and just tell us one thing. Romans 5, 6 through 11 says this. Paul says this. While we were still weak, at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And then he goes on and describes how, you know, somebody probably, people just don't die for people all the time. And people don't give their life for people. It says, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person. Though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. I mean, you know, maybe. But God shows his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies of God. While our lives broke his heart, while he probably just wanted to reach down and poke us in the eye, while we weren't where we needed to be, and maybe even were leading other people down a bad path, maybe speaking against him, while we were in a horrible place, separated from God by our sin, Jesus Christ gave his life so that we could have eternal life. That's how God showed his love for us. And since, therefore, we have now been justified, if we've accepted Jesus, we've been moved from death to life, darkness to light. We've been justified by his blood, by the sacrifice on the cross. Much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. We don't have to endure God's wrath now. We get to go to heaven because he's keeping our salvation for us and guarding it until the day of redemption, as we read a moment ago. And if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. These verses basically sum up everything in a great way. You see, in a nutshell, they tell us that it's through faith, through this gift that God offers us, has put under the tree of our lives, this gift of faith, that we're made right with God. We're forgiven of our sins. We're saved from God's wrath. We become part of God's family. It changes absolutely everything when we unwrap the gift of faith. Have you unwrapped it? Have you unwrapped that gift? Listen to me. Some of you are sitting here right now and you've never unwrapped the gift of faith. You've never put your faith and trust in Jesus. And if we were to have a conversation, you might say something to me like, well, I don't even believe. Well, we could have a conversation about that. But some of you would tell me, well, I just need to wait till the circumstances are right. They're just not right for me to do that. The timing isn't right. I need to do it sometime in the future. You know, at our house, we have a tradition. It's kind of a cool little tradition. It's a fun little thing. We have one child, and we have two grandchildren. And we started this years ago. I don't even know when it started. Nancy started this, and it's really a cool thing. Every year before Christmas, she goes to the dollar store. And she buys 8, 10, 12, I don't know how many. She buys each of them 5 or 6 gifts. They cost like $1 or $2. They're not, you know, you got one of those little things, you pull the string and the whirly thing goes, you know, those little, the break after 3 times you use them. You know, what, little things like that. But she wraps them up and then she puts BC on them before Christmas and she intersperses them all in the gifts around the tree. And then Lauren brings our grandchildren over for sometimes just a few minutes because they're driving her crazy to get to our house because there's a gift under the tree. And she brings them over and they dig through the gifts and they will scream, BC, BC, I got a BC. And then the other one's looking for the BC and then they're screaming and fighting, don't help me find, I can find my own BC, don't help me find. You know, and they're going, and we're just laughing and they're just having, they're, you would think we were giving them a car. It's a buck. They open that gift is theirs. And they are filled with joy and the little smiles on their faces. One day they'll talk about that. When we're long gone, listen, that gift of faith that God is offering you this morning, it's got a big old BC written on the box. You don't have to wait till Christmas. You don't have to wait to some future date. You don't have to wait till everything's just right. You can just pick it up and rip into it today. And you can enjoy the benefits, peace with God and a Holy Spirit that will indwell you and give you the power to deal with the stuff of life and fill you with God's love and guarantee you a place in heaven. It's just sitting there. My question is, what are you waiting for? You've never unwrapped it. Unwrap it. The Bible tells us that if we will confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord, we will believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, that we can be saved. We will be saved, it says. If you're here today and you genuinely and sincerely want a relationship with God, and you've been moved through something that was said today, and maybe God's Holy Spirit has spoken to you, I would invite you to pray and ask Jesus into your life. Matter of fact, I'll help you with that. Just close your eyes. Let's pray. Just say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. And God, I have heard about this gift today, and I accept it. Lord, I'm asking you right now to forgive me of my sins. I'm asking you to cleanse me of my unrighteousness. And I accept your gift of faith. And I put my faith and my trust in your son, Jesus, and I commit my life to living for and serving you in Jesus' name. You were sincere and genuine. You've been made part of God's family. And if you did that, in a moment we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And there are people in the back and by the doors, and they have these little lanyards on. Some of them have a shirt that says prayer. You can go back and tell them, go back and show them your new gift. They can help you see. They know the instructions by heart. They can help you figure it all out and tell you what you need to do next and all that. Go back and talk to them. Maybe you're here today and you opened your gift of faith a long time ago. But like a lot of gifts, it's been put on a shelf. And other gifts have taken its place. And you haven't paid much attention to it. And maybe today you realize that you need to take it off the shelf, blow off the dust, and realize what you have in Jesus and start living for him. Maybe that's you. Maybe you need prayer and you can come up and put a prayer on the cross and, you know, we'll pray for you. I don't know what you need to do. You know what you need to do. You'll just do that. Follow God's prompting. That'll be good. Don't leave that gift sitting under the tree. Open it. Never be the same.